We're going to talk about death tonight. And so the subject is, read it, church, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Death is something that we need to learn to deal with. Are you hearing me, church? As sure as we were born, you and I will. See, you don't even want to pronounce. You don't even want to say the word. Don't be afraid of the subject death. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear where death is concerned. I do not fear death, but I am not going to use long stick and juke down trouble. I'm not going to do anything to cause my own death. But I'm saying that we should not fear death. Death is an eventuality. Where there's life, there's going to be death. And rather than say in the midst of life, there's death, let us say in the midst of death, there is life. So as we look about the subject tonight, you and I need to see ourselves one of these days in our mind's eye, that we are going to end up in a little box. Once upon a time, we used to get 6 foot six. Now they're giving us less than that. But we all are going to end up in a coffin one day. But it's not the fact that we are in the coffin that will make the difference. It is whether or not we knew Jesus. Whether or not we had given Jesus our lives. Whether or not we belong to Jesus. And whether or not we died with the blessed hope in our hearts. Talk to me, church. If we die with the blessed hope in our hearts, death is not a thing to fear. So let's go, since you feel a bit more comfortable now. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God formed man from the dust of the ground. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Notice, the Bible does not say that we have a soul. The Bible said we now became living souls, are living beings. The body that God created, plus the breath that he breathed into the nostrils of Adam and Eve, made them into souls. So I'm going to tell you a little secret tonight. I do not have a soul. I am a soul. So let us say this now. I do not have a soul. I am a soul. So the Bible, what of us know? What is this soul? Is it immortal or can it ever die? Can the soul die? Or is it immortal? God wants us to get this picture clearly in our minds, because the devil has been using a whole lot of things to confuse us about death. So we go back to Genesis chapter 3. The serpent and Eve were in discourse. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, what, church? Lest ye die. But listen to the big lie that was told. Read it, church. You will not surely die. You will die, but you're not really dead. God told Eve and Adam, if you disobey me, you are going to die. The devil said, God, I know better than God. You're not going to die. You're going to have a dopey. You will come back like dopey. You can live. You're not really dead. But this is not what the Bible teaches, church. When God talks about dead, He means dead. And that's why nowadays we have different types of out-of-body experiences being reported. People telling us that they were dead and they saw this bright light. And all of a sudden, they came back. They looked down and they saw the body down there, stiff, stone, dead. But I can tell you tonight that anybody who can talk was not dead in the first place. Where does this dead thing come from and the state of the dead? Greek, which is pagan Greek philosophy, taught that the soul is what, church? Immortal. Now, this word mortal or immortal finds its root in the Latin mors mortis, meaning death. And that's why you have the word mortician and mortuary. From mors mortis. And so when you look at this, immortal would be the opposite then. You cannot die. Mortal comes from mors mortis. Mors mortem, mortis, morti, morte. And as you look at that, you see that people are looking about death and being afraid. And that's why they want the assurance that when they are dead, they are not really dead. And the devil would have us think that we can't die. Spiritualism teaches that the soul is immortal because spiritualism is one that wants us to think that we have a soul, we are not souls. So if we have a soul which is different from me, I might die, but the soul will continue to live. And so we find in the Eastern religions, when they talk about reincarnation, that you die and then you come back in another form. And that is why you find some people that believe these things. They are told that if you do acts of a criminal nature, for example, committing suicide, a suicide bomber, they tell a suicide bomber that you're not going to dead because when you die, you're going to come back and in the next life, you're going to get 10 virgins or how many other virgins. So people believe, based on their background, that they have a soul which is immortal, meaning though is not subject to death, cannot die. And that's why people are living the way they live. Because they think that when they are dead, they are not really dead. But the Bible wants us to understand, according to Ezekiel 18 verse 4, the Bible says, all souls are mine. God is saying all souls are mine. Why is it that all souls belong to God? Because God made Adam and Eve in the first place. So we belong to God by creation and redemption. So God can say, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. Read now for me, church. The soul or person who sins will die. So we go to funerals and we cry. We do not understand that it is not cancer that kills people. It is not heart attack or stroke. It is sin that kills people. So we hug up things that are wrong, breaking God's law. We sin and we expect to live forever. Can't work. Because my Bible tells me the wages of sin is death. The Bible didn't tell me the wages of sin is living in an immortal state because my soul is different from me. So as long as we understand that the Bible says the soul or person who sins will die, we will understand how urgent it is for me to have a little talk with Jesus and make it right, all right. There's only one person I know who is immortal. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Read, church, who only hath immortality. Who has immortality, church? God, and God alone. But the devil wanted to be God, and so the devil wants people to think all kinds of things. He is the one who is trying to fool us up, to make us think that we are not really going to die. But that soon come. When God created Adam, he placed his breath within him, not an immortal soul. If what we have said so far is clear, church, say. Amen. God put not an immortal soul. So Job 27 verse 3 wants to give us a better picture. It says, all the while my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is where, church? In my nostril. And that is why when we stop breathing, we die. The only person I know who cannot breathe and not die are babies in their mother's womb. But the minute you take the baby out of its mother's womb, if that baby does not breathe, come on, church, what I'm doing? It dies. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 19 puts it this way. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. So in the context, we and beasts are on the same plane. Even one thing befalleth them. What is it, church? As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they all have what, church? One breath. So a beast, a dog, a rat, a puss will die. And it rots and goes back to dirt. And the same thing happens to us. And that's what we fear. We cannot think of a time when we will not be alive. Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, all go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. So what is the purpose of life? Is my life of the same value as the life of a bird? Is my life the same value as that of a dog? And the answer is no, because God made me in his image. God didn't make dogs in his image. He made man in his image. And God gave man certain capabilities. We have the ability to discern God's voice, and we can talk to God. Jesus didn't die to save puss. Jesus died to save who? Me. Why? Because no rat is the apple of God's eye. But God says when we die, rat turned dust and man turned dust. But there's a difference, because one day. So let us look at Ecclesiastes 9:12. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare. And that is why, let us just think about this for a moment. Out there in the sea are many fish. And so one particular fish has been alive for a long time. Let us say it's a marlin. Weighs 500 and odd pounds. You know how many years a marlin has to live in order to reach 500 pounds? And so every day it normally goes into a particular direction and feeds. Feeds off grass or seaweed or other fish. For him, it's just another day at the office. Just another day, like any other day. But this day, a fisherman has a line with a hook and a bait on it. And he thought it was another small fish, and he grabbed it. And that's the end. We leave our homes. Everything seems just like the 50 or 60 years that we have lived already, or the 15 or the 10 years that we have lived already. And it's just another day of going to school, just another day of going to work, just another day of going to play. But some of us don't come back home. Just as the fish didn't know that it would never go back home, That is why we ought to live in a state of readiness so that there is nothing between my soul and the Savior. Death is not to fear, and we'll soon come to tell you why. The Bible says, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. People die in car crash. 16-year-old boy left his home to visit a friend and is out there with his friends and decides to go home. Car crash. Mourning and weeping. But the question is, it is not that the person has died, but had you laid all on the altar of sacrifice? We believe that we are all right, but we are not all right. Psalms chapter 90 verse 10 puts it this way. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. That 70 years God has given mankind a lifespan of 70. But it says by reason of strength there may be 80 years or even more. We know people who are 90 and 100. I did a crusade on Relish Road a few years ago, and a woman 98 was baptized. But we believe that because God has given us this time, we think we all gonna live to that age. So the question is asked, can somebody die before his or her time? Let us see what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 17. Be not wicked, neither be thou, what church, foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy Sabbath? What did we preach about? Fools and foolishness. Don't be foolish. You can die before your time. Watch this. Isaiah 38 verse 10 confirms this. I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the what church? Grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. You are not too young to die. I am not too old to die. I want us to think of the solemnity of this moment. God is saying that sometimes we come to the crusade or we go to church and we listen to a message of truth, and the Holy Spirit talks to us and we say, we are too young. We haven't lived any life yet. I'm telling you, you don't dead, not dead yet. I want you to understand that in a twinkling of an eye, you can die, I can die. And the residue of your years, you are deprived of it. People who smoke, for example, are killing themselves because every cigarette that you smoke, 14.5 minutes of your life is gone. Dying before your time. And then you say, but what I wonder, why me, God? We see these. We see it in the communities. As I drive around Kingston, as I drive around the island, I see paintings of young men, young women in that prime of life. And then you see under the really church, gone too soon. But I want to ask you something. Who are you, or who am I, to say that it was too soon? The point I'm making is simply this. God knows how long you and I will live. The first night of the crusade, we made a statement found in the book of Job. It says, God numbereth my what, church? My steps. So God knows before I was born how long I'm going to live. So God is saying, if you have 15 years, give them to me. If you have 90 years, give them to me. Because I am the one who can make sure that your life is hid and you'll get eternal life. Genesis 3:19, for dust thou art and unto dust shalt thou return. So what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. It is God who has crowned us with glory and honor. It is God who has made us a little lower than the angels. It is God who keeps us alive. It is God who wakes us up this morning. It is God. But we believe that we can live anyhow. And you come to church, whichever church, whether here or elsewhere, and you are afraid to give God your life. In the final analysis, it is dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We need to realize that we are mortal beings subject to death. And the only reason we are here is to do something. Soon tell you what it is. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit or breath shall return unto God who gave it. I went to a funeral the other day, and I was listening to the eulogy, and the person said, born, I don't remember what date it was, but it's somebody like was 70. Let us say 1920. Dead, 1998. And the person was making the point that the entire life of the person was represented by the dash between birth and death. A dash. Everything that we did seemed so important. We have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have to study. We have to. But we never say, I need to give my life to God. The Old Testament, we're looking at the word spirit. The Old Testament Hebrew word for spirit is ruah, which means breath. So when God gave us breath, our spirit is not an immortal part of us. It's just the ability to breathe. God's life came into the nostril of Adam. So is there any consciousness in death? Listen to this now. Psalm 146 verse 4. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. Read it, church. In that very day his thoughts perish. Think about that. You are full of life, running up and down, having a good time. And all of a sudden, like the fish in the net or the bird in the snare, that very moment we die, our thoughts perish. Who do you think this is addressing tonight? You see, I don't want to hear no all of us, nor no us. It is addressing me because I was born by myself. Brethren and friends, let me tell you something. If you were a twin or a triplet, is one baby born at a time? No one gonna die your death. Only one person has done that already, and that's Jesus. Nobody else can die for you. You are going, I'm going to die for myself. And when you go to funeral church, 500 people go to the graveside. How many leave? And what's the number that's left? One. How many church? One dege one. So all of us come and talk about who you were and who I was. And now when everything is finished, they just put me in the grave. So jump. We're gone. You're on your own. Brethren and friends, Ecclesiastes 9:5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. So what are you telling me, preacher? What are you talking about? I see my grandmother come back, come talk to me. It is not your grandmother. It's the devil coming in the form of your grandmother. What are you talking about, preacher? Don't you know that is why we pass people picnic over them casket for them to see that the baby did come. And that's why we buy the prettiest casket we can buy. Because we don't want them to come look and see. That's a little cheap casket them get. Brethren and friends, these are the reasons people behave the way they behave. Because they think that the dead one don't know what they didn't get or what they got and will come back to haunt them. But the Bible says, the living know that they shall die, but the dead does not know anything. So anything you're going to do for me, do it while I'm alive so I can say thank you. All the pretty wreaths. And the nine night and the Gary can bring me back. Give me the roses now. Sister John, tell me, say, I love me. No, me no one here to me.
I love you.
It's no I can hear church. It's no I can smile. But when me dead and me in coffin, she come kiss me. Me love you and I shed tear, brethren and friends. It's not that time I want you to tell me. Tell me when I can say, Mrs. Jump, Marilyn Jump, I love you too. That is what must happen. We are treating our people anyhow and want to make up for it for funeral. Give them what they must get now. I can't know. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. There's nobody who has died who can come back to haunt you. It's demon that. Let me tell you something. The devil is a great impersonator. He did it in Eden. He came in the form of a serpent. He can come in many forms. The devil has a record of each one of us. And the devil knows how our voices sound. The devil knows how we walk. So if you think the devil can impersonate you, you're wrong. Because the Bible tells me that the devil gonna impersonate Jesus. So when we hear, hey, my granny dream me and give me a lotto number, it's not your grandmother dream me and give you a lotto number. It's devil meant. Oh, and I dreamed last night, you know, and I give me the four races. They don't know anything. It's the devil that is talking to you. And the best thing to do is separate yourself out of that, because little by little the devil will draw you into his snare. The Bible says, if his sons are honored, he does not know it. If they are brought low, he does not see it. And we go to funerals and we hear foolishness that people who, you say, and Brother Jump was a faithful servant of the Lord. And Brother Jump lying there in the casket right before them and say, and no, Brother Jump is in heaven looking down on us. Nonsense! The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. You notice the word? Silence. When was the last night you go over Maypen Cemetery and hear any dopey attack? And they sing song when I was a little boy. If you want fear, dopey laugh, come a Riverside Sunday morning. No dopey can't laugh. It's not the person who died. If you hear any laughing, it's Satan. No, brethren and friends, there is no repentance in the grave. None. How I am when I die is how I am. Nobody can pray for me. So there is no thing called limbo. People tell you that when some religion teaches that when you die, you go to limbo first. And based on certain petitions and so that are made, you can move from limbo and go to purgatory, and then you move from purgatory and you go to heaven. Nonsense. You don't have any limbo nor any purgatory. When you are dead, it's grave time. I went to a funeral once, and on the program it said, and I'm going to call the person's name, it says, please pray for Janice. If there's no repentance in the grave, can you pray for Janice? If there's no repentance in the grave, how it is that people are praying for the dead? You have to make your decision while you're alive, because when you're dead, you can't repent. And that's why the devil wants to keep us busy, so that we spend no time with Jesus. We do not become sorry for our sins. We do not feel sorrow for them and regret them and ask for forgiveness. Because people teach, don't worry yourself, man. You will go to limbo and we will pray for you. I am telling you this tonight. There's no one on earth that can confess your sins for you. The Bible says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This only happens when I am alive. No hope once we are dead. So the Bible teaches that death is like a sleep that lasts until Christ's second coming. Bible writers declare death as sleep more than 50 times. Let me ask you something. When you fall asleep normally, other than when you eat too much dumpling or something before you and you go sleep and you have nightmare, other than when you have nightmare, when you fall asleep, do you know what happens in the neighborhood? No. Death is like that. And let me tell you something. What I found with myself, most times, the last thing I remember when I fell asleep is the first thing I remember when I wake up. That is why it is important to fall asleep thinking about Jesus. Stop worrying about what's on the internet and what we're going to do at work tomorrow. Think about, Lord, save me. So in Jesus' day, as in our days now, there was this misconception that after you die, after 3 days, you raise. So Jesus had some friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And Jesus got a message from one of the sisters saying, your friend Lazarus is sick. So Jesus waited 4 days before he went. But while he was talking to his disciples, he said, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. His disciples says, Lord, since he's asleep, it is all right with him because he's resting and he will get well. But Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in what church? Sleep. And Jesus spoke to them clearly, Lazarus is dead. Jesus called death our church sleep. Now when Jesus went, Jesus was met by the sisters. They were crying. Of course, they were wondering, what happened to you, Jesus? We sent a message when Lazarus was alive and we knew you could have done something. No, Lazarus is dead. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. But what did Martha believe about death? John 11:24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So Jesus had to clear up something now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that's why you need to hide your life in Jesus. Because if you die in Jesus, all is well. You're not saying amen, church. Enough of us who are under the tent don't have a relationship with Jesus. So when I say, when we die in Jesus, all is well. You're not saying amen. You see, you are still afraid of this dead business. Don't be afraid of it. It's asleep. And Jesus said, I can wake you up. So just say, show me where they bury. Lord, is the dumb how long now? You sure you want to go down there? The Bible says the shortest verse in the Bible is what, church? Jesus wept. We don't know that when we have pain, Jesus is hurt as well. So he said, roll back the stone. Lord, you mustn't do that, man. It must smell too nice. And they start back off. So they rolled back the stone, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Lazarus who was dead came out. Now, brethren and friends, since people teach that when you die, you go straight to heaven, where Lazarus came out of? The grave. So let me put myself in Lazarus' position now. Let us say, I really had died. My name is Lazarus, and I was dead, and I went straight to heaven. And I see all the streets of gold, all the river of life and tree of life and angels. And Jesus come call me back from that. Virgin and friends, me would have most mad. And I said, Jesus, what you know, check for me. Look at how I was up here, and you bring me back down to this dark and dreary world. I'm sick and tired of down here, and you taking me from up there. So Jesus said, unwrap him, give him food. Virgin and friends, we need to understand that if Jesus had only gone to the grave and said, come forth, every single person who had died before would get up, because Jesus is what? The resurrection and the life. Everybody would get up. But Jesus had to be specific. Lazarus is your word. But some people said to us, this whole matter of Jesus and the thief on the cross, but the thief went to heaven same day. Jesus was on the cross dying. One thief cursed Jesus and said, hey, since you're so powerful, why don't come down? The other one said, shut them out, boy. Don't you see that we are in the presence of God? Master Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And watch this now. The Bible says in Luke 23, verse 43, a punctuation mark makes a lot of difference. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This would seem, if the comma is there, it would seem to suggest that Jesus was telling him, today you'll be in paradise. But let us go a little further and then we clear it up. Let us put a little punctuation mark in it. Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. The question is, Jesus was telling him, today, Friday, the 14th of Nisan, AD 31, you will be with me in paradise. You notice it is future tense. You will. Future. Watch this now. Let us play a little bit with punctuation. Men, read this for me, please. Men. A woman without her man is nothing. What am I? You're not reading it? Men. Men, read it for me, please. A woman without her man is nothing. So, you know what, woman? You better come, because you don't see without me. But let us put in some punctuation sign in it now. It says, a woman without her man is nothing. The woman not saying amen. All right. I want to laugh some more. Come again. A woman without her man is nothing. But I don't know what I'd do without Sister Jump. Up to this evening, I tell her, I don't know what I'd do without her, because I tell you the truth. My God knew what he was doing when he made woman. Yeah. Punctuation makes a difference. So as we look, Jesus, if you continue the trend of thought that Jesus peradventure had meant that he would be going to heaven today. He didn't go to heaven. Jesus went into the grave. And Sunday morning when Jesus was resurrected, Jesus said, John 20 verse 15, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away. Jesus said to her, what, church? Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. Come on, church, you must say amen, man. Jesus didn't go to heaven Friday, so there's no way he could have carried the thief with him on Friday. His son that Jesus went to heaven. Look at this now. Verse 17 of John 20 says, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Which day is this, church? Sunday. Jesus went to heaven that Sunday. And look what happened the Sunday evening. John 20, 19 to 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first bit, what, church? The first. Which day did Jesus resurrect? First day. And it's the same day at evening, the Bible says, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for what, church? Fear of the Jews, they were not there having us. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I just came back from my God and your God. I just came back from my Father and your Father. And he says, peace be unto you. Same Sunday. Jesus didn't go to no heaven Friday. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Tomorrow night we're going to speak on the judgment. Don't miss it. It's your night, my night. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he will stand on the earth upon the earth in the latter day. And though after my skin worms destroy this body. Congo worm going to eat us, but don't worry yourself. Congo worm going dead too, but Congo worm will never be resurrected. But if I die in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, he will call and I will answer. Amen. Yet shall I live, and though after my skin, turn that sister John. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall be old, and not another. Remember, I tell you, you're going to die for yourself. And when you get salvation, is for who? For me. I want Sister John to come. Make no mistake. I want her to come. But I have to make sure my own register first. The Bible says, hold fast that which thou hast. Let no man take your crown. Sister Jump can't wear my crown, and I don't intend to wear her own. I want my own crown with my own name. And then I said, Jesus, where is Marilyn Jump? And she says, see her over there. I said, well, Anna, so she pretty. Brethren and friends, your Christianity must be something beyond the ordinary. You must enjoy your Christianity. You must know you belong to Jesus. You must know that you are saved. And you must know that I can't go to heaven without my wife or my husband or my picnic. I can't go to heaven without my neighbor not here in my church. I can't go without them. And whatever it takes out of me, I'm going to do it. I don't hear the amen at all. So as we close tonight, Jesus says there are going to be two types of resurrections. John 5:28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear the voice, his voice, and come forth. Those that have done what, church? Good. To the resurrection of what? Life. And those who have done evil to the... No, sir, I don't think you read it right. You think you read it right? One resurrection of life and one resurrection of what? Condemnation or damnation. Those who belong to Jesus will get the resurrection of life. The one that doesn't belong to Jesus will get the resurrection of condemnation. So 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You do not know anything about tomorrow. You know about now. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Right now, I have my girlfriend, you know. And right now, she not ready for going to church. So we're not going to church. You know, evangelist, I talk to my boyfriend day in, day out, and I can't get him to budge. There are some things more important than man or woman. Every pot must stand up on its own bottom. So as 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You're not saying amen, church? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You're not saying amen, church? Don't you see? We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus' feet will not touch the ground. We're going to meet him up there. Now let me tell you a little secret now. If you die, let me say this first. The two resurrections which Jesus is talking about will be separated by 1,000 years. Some people call it the millennium, but millennium is not in the Bible. But it's 1,000 years. Mille and annum, two Latin words, mean millennium, 1,000 years. If you get up one morning, and when you look, you see people floating. Which resurrection am I in? Which one will you be in? The first. If we see people floating, it means we are in the first resurrection. But if when you get up, you don't see anybody floating up into the air, you know you sleep, you have dropsy, 1,000 years of dropsy. And you're sorry for me, are you, if you're finding that. Corinthians puts it this way, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But because I belong to Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, when Jesus calls my name, I will answer Jesus. So tonight, Jesus says, I am he that liveth and was dead. But I want to tell you something. Behold, I am alive for all long, church, forevermore. And there's something else I want to tell you. Turn it, Sister John. I have the keys of hell and the death. And that is why I said to you at the beginning of the sermon, you should not be scared of death. One last point and then I sit down. In our country, we have some companies that do work. Everybody wants to make a profit. These companies are in the business of life insurance. If you have policy, don't lapse it. It serves a purpose. But what I want to tell you tonight is this. The only time there's any benefit that is paid is when you are dead. And some of the money might go towards your funeral expenses, but it is your beneficiary that really gets what they should get. But Jesus is selling, he's not selling, he's giving a different type of insurance. He's giving me everlasting life. I am the resurrection and the life. Life is in me. And I want you to know that the length of life that you live is not what is, that's not what is important. It is how you live it. Whether you live it for me or not. So tomorrow night we're going to look at probation and how that fits into the judgment. And what I want to encourage you tonight, not to be afraid of death. Make a provision to die. Give Jesus your life, because Jesus can resurrect you from the dead. And when Jesus resurrects us in the first resurrection, we are going to live for how long? Forever. That's the life that you need. And that's why the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God does not have life. Which one do you want? Let us listen to our singing evangelist tonight. Angela is her name, if you don't know her name. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace, sweet rest, as you yield him your body and soul.
As we sing the last verse, we'd like to stand with us, please, church.
Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow, and how happy our hearts will be made, till our body and soul he doth fully control. On the altar, or all we must lay.
You want to lay your all on the altar tonight?
Is your all?
Will you come to Jesus?
On the altar.
Death is not the end.
Sacrifice.
Come and give Jesus your life tonight.
Your heart.
Come to him.
Does the Spirit control?
Come to him. You need not fear death.
You can only
Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He will give you back your life if you give him yours now. Would you like to come? Would you like to come? Would you like to come to Jesus tonight? Give him your all tonight. Give him your all.
Is your all?
Give him your all.
On the altar.
Death is not the end. Death is not to be feared. Jesus has the power over death. Will you come?
Does the Spirit control?
Lord bless you. Walk down to Jesus
you
tonight.
You can only be blessed.
Lord bless.
And come. Have peace and sweet rest.
If you all.
As you heal.
Give him your all tonight.
Your body.
Give him your all.
And soul.
Church, sing the chorus once more with our singing evangelist, please.
Is your all,
is your all on the altar, of sacrifice? You're not too young to die. You're not too old to die.
Your heart,
but when you die in Jesus,
spirit,
when you die in Jesus, a better day is coming. Come.
You can only be blessed.
Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Come.
Rest.
Come to Jesus.
As you yield
come.
Him, you are
you're on the outside. Come to Jesus. You're on the inside. Come to Jesus. One life to live. One death to die. One death to die.
In the light of his word.
What a glory. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus tonight. Maybe where you're standing, you'd like one of our Bible instructors to come to you or your usher. If you raise your hand, they'll come and give you a card.
To be free,
you can fill out the card and tick
Ill
the option that you want. Bible
altar,
study, prayer, pray for and visit me. Whatever is your desire, we're here to help you to make a decision for eternity.
Is your all
come.
On the
come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. There's a hand at the back.
Your
usher, there's a hand at the back. Left back, left.
Does the spirit
raise those hands for Jesus where you are. Maybe the feet are not as strong as you'd like them to. You feel a little fearful to walk. But we'll come to you.
Peace
and sweet rest. Come to Jesus tonight. Give him your body. Give him your all. Give Jesus your all tonight. Give him. Give him. Come. Raise those hands if you think you're a bit, you're not so strong to walk. We will come to you. Come. Lift those hands for Jesus tonight. Come. Come. Come to Jesus. Come. Come to Jesus. Come. Let go and let God. There's a hand right here. Raise that hand for Jesus tonight. Raise those hands for Jesus tonight. Give Jesus your all. Give him your all. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Come to Jesus. Come. Come. Our prayer warriors are here as they encircle you and they are praying for you tonight. We are in the business with Jesus to help you to have salvation. Come. Raise those hands if you are not willing to walk. We'll walk down to you. Raise those hands.
Your body.
I'm going to tell you a short tale. I had a very close friend. He had his business nearby here. Every time I told him about Jesus, just cool, Mr. John. Just cool. Me not ready yet. Just cool. Me not ready yet. It was Labor Day, 1994. And I went to see him. Just cool, Mr. John. Me not ready yet. Saturday night, I was due to go to visit him. But I had a meeting at church and I did not go. That Saturday night, gunmen went into his business place. Just about within the time frame that I would have been there. He was held up right in this neighborhood. And he was killed. Shot by a man who he went to school with. His words still echo in my ear. Just cool, Mr. John. Just cool. Me not ready yet. Death is at the door. When you'll die, I don't know. I don't know when I'll die. But Jesus says, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come to Jesus tonight. Come to Jesus. Come. Come. Have you counted the cost? Should your soul be lost? Have you counted it? Come. I'm just waiting a little long for you because I know there is a burden on your heart tonight. Young men, come from outside. Young ladies, come from outside. You're in under the tent. Come. Make a statement to the devil tonight. I want to belong to Jesus because all you have is death. But Jesus, give me life. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Should your soul be lost? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come or raise that hand tonight? Raise that hand where you are. Come. Raise that hand where you are. Raise that hand where you are. Nothing to be ashamed of. When you give Jesus your life, is the best decision you'll ever make. Because that's making sure you have salvation. Come. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, have you counted the cost? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will you give in exchange for your soul? Come, or raise your hand.
Though you gain the whole world for your soul.
Raise those hands tonight. Raise your hand for Jesus. He wants to save
you. It may be that the line you
have you counted the cost if you are lost? Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Should you be lost? Should you be lost? Have you counted the cost? Pastor is getting ready to say a special prayer for those who came and those who raised their hands and those of us who have already given Jesus our lives. But you still can come.
Yes, you still can just walk down. Just walk down. If you are included in the Spirit, just walk down.
Won't you come and be healed?
The word is clear from the evangelist.
Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted. I have counted the cost.
Let us bow heads for prayer.
You counted the
Father in heaven,
cost.
Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege you have afforded us to listen to this serious message. Death is real, and the earthly reality that we all must face given time. But Lord, we thank you that your blood, your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, yes, Lord, it has won for us the privilege of living for eternity. But you have said it clearly that if we are going to live for eternity, we must live for you now. We must come boldly to the throne of grace. We must come as we are, knowing that your blood is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no sin, Lord, that you will not forgive, as long as we repent and ask you so to do. We thank you for those who have come forward, the little children, the men, the women. Thank you, Lord. They have come forward and already they're on your side, the winning side, the side of eternity, the side that will lead them into the path of righteous living on earth and the reality of living forever and ever. Oh, Lord, I pray tonight that they will not look back. Yes, there are challenges that they have. But we know that you know the way through the wilderness. You have the solution to our problems. And Lord, we thank you that they have come and they have placed their hands in thine. And we know, Lord, that already they have victory. We pray that they will have the faith to trust you, to know that when the going gets tough, and in the good times as well as the bad times, you are by their sides to strengthen them, to keep them, to provide for them, to deliver them, and to give them the victory in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that by way of their choice, they can serve you on earth. They can go with you to the watery grave of baptism. Because when you live, Jesus, on earth, when you live, you went through baptism as an example that we should follow. And we pray, Lord, that tonight you will help us to see beyond baptism, because it is just the beginning, the public declaration that we are on your side. So tonight, Lord, they have taken that first step, and I pray and ask for them power to live the life that counts and to be obedient to your will, because soon and very soon we will see Jesus. We will see the resurrection who will conquer death, because you will give us that reward, because you have already conquered death. We thank you for hearing us, and we thank you for the victory that your boys and girls have claimed tonight, those who have come forward and those who have raised their hands, and even those who decide now that they will speak with us after and receive a prayer card so that we can pray for them. Thank you for hearing us, and thank you for the wonderful night we've had. Take us safely home and bring us back tomorrow night. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Let the people say, Amen. Amen.